It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hi, my name
is Howard Simon.
At home, they call me
Pose.
And I hit dingers.
Jeremy White.
You sound like that ugly girl who's finally got a boyfriend for the first time and can't stop talking about him.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I wasn't
here yesterday. I got to get caught up.
Yeah? Okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about a license plate I saw yesterday, and you're trying to tell me what it means. Okay? I'm serious. I tried to take a picture of this, but, you know, you're at a red light, or you don't want to take a picture while you're driving.
I thought you're not supposed to tweet out pictures of license plates.
If
it's not... No, I don't. I always thought, like, isn't that why they blot them out on television?
Yes, but if you have a vanity plate...
Okay.
Isn't the whole point? So
like Kramer's and Seinfeld?
Right.
Hey, you're the...
Right. If you have a vanity plate, that means I'm... Not only do I want people to see this, but I paid extra money so everyone that sees me in my car can see this license plate and, you know?
Okay.
All right, so everybody ready for this? Here it is. And if you're out there driving around with this vehicle, I mean, congratulations on becoming a topic. The license plate is one of those ones that... It's a Bills license plate. You know, you can get like the Bills helmet on actual license plate. You can sports teams can, you know, be on there. So there's a Bills helmet on the left, and then it has two words, and it says "so mad." What does it mean? You're mad at the Bills?
Really?
A Bills helmet and "so mad."
Or does it mean you're mad, crazy fan?
I guess, but that seems
I would think "so mad" means you're angry at the team.
But why would you get it?
So mad. Bill's mad? Like a Bill's...
Bill's so mad.
So it's either you're angry at the team or you're like the greatest fan in the world. Like you're mad crazy about your beloved Buffalo Bills.
It's got to be beloved. And if it is...
So mad, huh?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they did have a long drought.
They did.
It's a good chance you got the person got the plate in the drought.
So you show off that you are a fan of the Bills by having it on your license plate, but then also letting everyone know, I've got takes on the Bills and I'm so mad.
Yeah.
What's this person mad about? Is it the drought? Is it their fourth down decision making? Is it their decision to go away from the Bledsoe era jerseys? You know, it could be anything.
Could be angry about Greg Williams.
Could be. How long has this person had this license plate? You know, the moral of the story is next time I should just pull up next to him, roll down the window and ask.
If you had the plate and you were mad about the drought, wouldn't you have contacted the DMV in January and said, hey, listen, I'm going to have to change my plate?
Yeah, probably.
You know. The drought ended. You can't, right? You would say...
You would do something about it.
Happy now. Like, the Bill's new plate would be happier
now. No longer mad.
Yeah. Not as mad as used to be.
Oh, we could play...
That's too long.
You ever remember that game, Bumper Stumpers?
Never heard of it.
No?
No.
There was a Was it on television? There was a television show that was like... you remember the game Concentration, right?
Yes. I used to love that. We had the home version.
Yeah, Concentration was a fun game. Bumper Stumpers was... They would put, license plates on the screen... And you would have to determine what it said, what it meant.
Oh, okay.
So it would be a series of letters.
It's an abbreviation. It's like it's today's Twitter, or today's text messages where you take certain letters out.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that they got an entire television show out of this is really kind of incredible that it was a weekly? It was on in 1989. And, you know, it was tough. I'm looking at a couple right now. Like GHNFBET. What is that?
Was it GHN?
GHNFBET.
FBET. Wow.
Right? Like that. That's a thing somewhere along the way. And then I don't know. I don't remember how this game actually worked. I've got to
say what it is.
I got to turn the volume up because it's on our computer. We have one computer in here that doesn't have a speaker. Doesn't have volume because you know we're in a studio.
Something football extraterrestrial.
Well, right.
I have no idea what that is.
The comment says it was a Canadian game show, which I didn't know it to be Canadian, but I've got no reason to doubt that. The first comment, that's on the YouTube page.
I don't remember ever hearing of this game show. It doesn't mean it wasn't on. No, I don't remember ever hearing of it.
I definitely remember
Bumper
it.
Stumpers.
It was
never
one of,
heard of it.
I loved it. Wow. It was, 1989, I'm 10 years old, but I loved the game. If I don't know where I would have seen it, like what station or anything like that. Will writes in, so mad at the Bills challenges. Just one for 10 or whatever.
It's so mad. It could cover so many different
things.
Maybe it's not one particular thing that this person was just. You put so mad, it can cover anything. You know, it can cover anything you want when your team makes you crazy.
Another texter writes in, maybe the guy's name is Saul Madison.
Could be. Saul. Saul Madison.
Texts are great. Another texter. You could just be mad and then decide, you know what? I like the Bills. Toss the helmet on there,
too. Okay, so
like
you're just mad you're person just in general.
An angry person.
And it just so happens you're a Bills fan.
Yeah. You're just, I love the Bills, but I'm also angry.
I don't know. If anybody, what are the odds that person's listening or someone knows that person could text us or tweet us the explanation for the license plate?
Right.
6 degrees of separation in Buffalo. Somebody listening knows somebody who got.
This person might be listening.
That's what I said. It's possible. Right, yeah. Remember the year we, remember the time we brought up the guy, the picture of the guy in the paper with his jersey tucked in at the Sabre game and he called?
He said that was
so
me.
It's possible the person with So Mad is listening or someone who knows that person is listening and can let us know exactly what they're mad about.
Should we? I'll put a Twitter APB on out for it.
Yeah, put it out and see what anybody responds.
This is the stuff that happens when I'm driving home from work
the
and I'm thinking about, like,
think about.
Well, what can I? Well, this one came to me. I mean, I didn't do anything. I let the game come to me in this case. I'm just driving and I see that license plate. So mad.
Okay. I don't know what it would be. I would, if I saw it and I was driving, I would think they were just an unhappy Bills fan.
Which I don't get a sense that there are all that many of, at least not violently mad, right? Not, you know, you kind of know where this season is. We had a call yesterday a guy called in and complained about the fact the Bills haven't beaten any good teams. And my response was,
welcome to the NFL.
Who cares? Like, I just get the sense that Bills fans are kind of comfortable where they are right now, knowing that they're not going to make the playoffs. The drought's over, so you don't have to, like, add that on. And we're watching the young quarterback. And Kelvin Benjamin's release is probably a very popular move because you didn't want I was afraid the Bills were going to re-sign him because they were so desperate at the position.
Oh, no.
I didn't think it was going to happen. But when we talked to Sal about it, we talked to others, it would be, you know, it's possible. And I'm very, very glad that that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't, you know, so they haven't been, okay, so at least they're winning games.
Who cares who they beat?
Yeah, just win games and you'll get better.
If you're 8-4 and people are trying to convince you that they're good, that's when you go to who they beat. When you're 4-8, nobody makes too much of a case that they're all that good.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of these teams that has a young quarterback and, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's, you know, I don't worry about quality of wins. I don't know that I'm sure I did at some point, whether it's the Sabres or whether it's the Bills.
Well, if you want
to care, I mean, the goal is for the Bills to get to the point where they are good enough to beat New England and the New England's and the Pittsburghs or the Chargers or the Rams, whatever. We know they're not good enough to do that now. So for me right now, I'd like to see a rookie quarterback win some games for them and build some confidence. I know they're not as good as New England, but, you know, I much prefer wins over losses unless we're sitting here talking about trying to get to the top of the draft to get a quarterback, which we're not. So I'll take the wins, whatever. Beat the Jets, sweep the series with them, beat Detroit, beat Miami. If they lose to New England, so be it. I know you're not that good yet, but I'd like to see the young kid grow and get some confidence and see these guys win some football games. So I honestly could care less about who the Bills are beating and not beating. I know they're not good enough to beat the best teams in the league. We'll sit there against New England and say and wonder if the defense is good enough to keep them in the game, point one. Point two, if that happens, is the offense good enough to muster enough points to actually pull off an upset victory? That's down the road. But, that stuff doesn't bother me. You know, I mean, I don't think I could put the Sabres in the same discussion because they have beaten good teams this season. You know, they beat Winnipeg. They beat Minnesota. They beat Tampa, even though they're outplayed. They played a heck of a game against Toronto. So, I don't know. I don't know where that – whatever. What did you expect them to beat New England this year?
No, of course not.
I'm glad they're not going to 2-14. I just win some football games and make people feel better about – you know, this was a growth year, step back year, rebuild year, whatever term you want to use it. This season was looking like 2-14, 1-15 there for a little while. Historically bad offense. Who the heck are they going to beat now? At least they're scoring some points. The offense looks better. Josh Allen is growing as a quarterback in the National Football League. So I could care less who the wins are coming against. It doesn't bother me one bit. And the goal is to eventually get to the point where you're good enough to compete with the top teams in the NFL. There are ways away from that.
Well, Sunday should be a fun one. I mean, it's another one of these games where, like, to that caller's point about who have you beaten, nobody cares.
Yeah.
If they win on Sunday, you know, I was talking about this with Sal yesterday. I'm not bent out of shape about their draft position. I just don't care. Eighth versus 12th is not really of major consequence to me. You know, if you're going to talk about tanking, go to one. If you're not going to be in the mix for one, all right, whatever. Or top three, and they don't appear to be in that mix. So, you know, go out and beat the Jets, and I'm not going to tell anybody that you're great for beating the Jets, but you're better than the Jets, and that is something that long-term you kind of hope this team is. Right now, Josh Allen's probably a little bit higher up than Sam Darnold in terms of how things have gone for these guys. I was in the update. How about how these rookie quarterbacks, you know, we spent an entire year thinking, who'd you get? Sometimes they can come in and be great right away. Sometimes they sit for a year. Right now, they're all playing.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Darnold's been hurt. But all five of the first-round quarterbacks are playing. Flacco's hip injury is better now.
I think he came back this week to practice.
We'll see what they do. But you've got all five playing. Baker Mayfield lost his head coach. Probably a good thing. Sam Darnold got hurt. Josh Allen got hurt. Who else is there? Josh Rosen lost his offensive coordinator. And as we mentioned in the update, four offensive linemen.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
And Lamar Jackson might lose his head coach after the season.
Yeah, right. So it kind of drives home a point that maybe we should have.
Darnold's definitely going to lose his head coach after the season.
I think so, yeah. Right. Bulls. So. And maybe it's something that I say we, but I mean I should have given more thought to, which is, none of these guys comes into a situation that is great.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield might have the best spot, and the other four have their own set of circumstances, their own adversity to deal with. For Allen, it's been working with an offense that doesn't have great weapons, can't do much that he can't. It's like he can even lean on anything else. It'd be one thing if he could lean on a run game. Can't lean on that.
They lean on the defense.
Right.
They lean on the defense.
Right.
But look, so three of the five guys should have new head coaches, right? Cleveland already will. Everything in New York is pointing to Todd Bowles getting fired, and there's a lot of talk in Baltimore. We'll see. If Baltimore makes the playoffs, I assume the talk of Harbaugh being out will stop. But if they miss out on the playoffs again, it's possible Harbaugh's out in Baltimore, so three of the five guys could be replaced. McDermott's not going anywhere. Don't know what Arizona's going to do after 1 year with Steve Wilkes. So I am looking forward to Sunday because Darnold is an interesting story. Darnold got off to a really good start, and people in New York were really excited about him. You know, the opener against the Detroit Lions, he throws the pick six to start the game, but he plays well after that, and he gets his first couple, three games, not bad. And then his play starts to tail off, and got to the point where when he was injured, there was talk in New York about maybe we should take the kid out and just put McCown back in. It's too much for him.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how this is the Josh Allen story. Your play's tailing off, you get hurt. How do you look when you get back on a team that you would look at and go, weapons, woof.
Right.
You know, New York's offense is, they've got three touchdowns in their last five games. If you read the stories this week about the Jets, you'd swear it's everything we were saying about the Bills a month ago in their offense.
How bad it is.
They can't score.
Well, Darnold, his first start goes for 76% completions, two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 116. And it is a good lesson. You know, we've gone through this, the ups and the downs of the rookie quarterback. As you mentioned, in New York, they were crowning him the answer.
They were pretty pumped.
Right.
Not just after that game, but he had played well through the first, well, most of the first month of the season.
Meanwhile, his last game, 229 and four picks, a quarterback rating of 31.
Right.
So, like, it is it's a tough business. You know, it's like, I always like the golf analogies. Anybody can have a birdie. I mean, it's hard to have a birdie, but it's the guys that have the most birdies and the most consistent good holes and the fewest bad holes, and that's how it is being an NFL quarterback. You know, Josh Allen can show us an incredible performance, and it's about how many times he's able to do that and how many times he's able to avoid the blow-up performances. Darnold had his blow-up. Allen's biggest blow-up was what, Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Where they didn't move the ball, they got shut out. He didn't turn it over a ton. They just didn't really do much.
Right. Darnold's had both his games against Miami. I don't remember who that was. That Miami, the last game where he had the four picks? Or
yeah.
Was it? Both his games against Miami were pretty bad, so he was trending in the wrong direction.
He's got three games. I'm looking at, he's got four games of multiple interceptions.
Yeah.
Which was part of his scouting report coming out. He turns the ball over.
Yeah.
And they were going to try and, of course, coach that out of him.
But his problem, too, I mean, again, you look at, you know, there was a stretch there where I think Anunwe was injured for a little while. Robbie Anderson might have been out. They've had no consistent running game. They end up losing Bilal Powell. Their offensive line has had issues. I mean, as I said, I'm reading the stories this week and last week about the Jets' offense. Their game in Tennessee, they get into the red zone and they can't score. I mean, they should have beaten the Titans last week, but their offense was so bad, even with McCown, that it really, that's why they lost the football game. But if you look at their numbers, I pulled up this week's NFL stats. The Jets are right there with the Bills. The Jets are 30th in yards per game and 30th in pass yards per game, passing average, percent intercepted, 31st in first downs. They're dead last in third downs, and they're 26th in scoring. So their offense is struggling too. So this is really, as I said, I think there are a lot of similarities you can draw between Allen and Darnold. And Darnold is now in the situation where Allen was. When Allen got hurt and he went out, the offense was really bad, and they couldn't score, and they couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't, you know, the offensive line had question marks. And Jets fans would probably say the same thing. Hey, guys, you know Darnold's struggling, but look at the weapons. What's this kid got to throw the ball to? The Jets are going to have to find some weapons. There's a lot of talk in New York that maybe the Jets will make a big offer for Le'Veon Bell next year, or in the offseason, in free agency, because they need to build up the running game to help Sam Darnold. So he's in a boat where Josh Allen was. This is why I feel so good about what I've seen from Josh Allen the last 2 weeks. You know, the offense hasn't really changed, except more playing time for Robert Foster, and they brought in Isaiah McKenzie. It's pretty much in, you know, Wyatt Teller got a start, is now the starter at left guard. But for the most part, it's the same offense. And Josh Allen is getting better. I think Jets fans now are where we were a couple of weeks ago. Darnold comes back. They hope they get four games out of him, and they try and figure out, could he look better after the injury than he did before he got hurt? And that's where they're at. So I'm feeling really good about the last couple games for Josh Allen, and I hope he does well against the Jets defense, which is having its own issues going into the game on Sunday.
Well, Sunday should be fun. I'm excited for it. It's going to be nice out, not too snowy, not too rainy, which is even more important. And another evaluation. There was a quote I saw from the Jets. Was it maybe Jamal Adams that the Jets are looking at this game as if to say, like, with a
it's
bit
personal.
Yeah, with a bit of a.
That's what he said.
They whooped us last time. I think that might have been his quote. Like, they beat our brains in.
I know. I saw that he did. The quote I saw was, it's personal.
Yeah.
Because they beat the snot. I mean, Matt Barkley comes off the street and puts up 41. I mean, that was. Believe me, the Jets have plenty of embarrassing games in their history. But that day, remember that I was out that day. I told you I was down on the island. I was hanging out with Jet fans down on the island, and they were incredulous. Well, people wanted Todd Bowles fired at halftime. As crazy as this may sound, because if you're not familiar with Jets history, there's a lot of low points in Jets history. That was one of the low points in Jets history. They got blown out by a guy who was claimed off the street and started in what? In less than 2 weeks and put up four and on the worst offense in the NFL, they put up 41 points. So yeah, I think the Jets defense will be looking for some revenge on Sunday against Josh Allen. I think one of the big storylines on Sunday is, what do the Jets do about Josh Allen's running? Do they devote? Are they going to make make a spy? Are they going to use one of their linebackers, a safety? Do they make Jamal Adams? I don't know. I'm curious to see how the Jets defense approaches Josh Allen after what he's done with his legs the last 2 weeks.
Make him be a quarterback,
right? And how do you do that? And
he's shown a little bit of that.
Jets
so far.
Don't have much of a pass rush. You know, their defensive front isn't generating much of a rush, and their defense, as much as we talk about their offense. Kind of like the Bills, you know, they don't have a lot of weapons and they're not really doing much offensively. Their defense has been a big disappointment.
Brett texts in, Allen did have a pick in Green Bay. That was the late throw across your body pick in the end zone.
Yeah, right before halftime, right? I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Texter, another one. It boggles my mind how Darnold gets the pub he does. After his last college game when he threw three interceptions, and the commentator says that's what you get with Darnold. He's an interception throwing machine. I mean, I don't know what pub you mean. He's celebrated by the New York media after his first game the same way that Josh Allen was after the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
I don't think that Sam Darnold gets a lot of national praise about being some sort of incredible talent.
No, and I thought, you know, if the person texting in thinks he doesn't get enough criticism for the turnovers, that was the negative on him coming out of USC ball security. Not just interceptions, but, you know, where he would hold the ball when he's dropping back, and he would hold it too low, and he was prone to strip sacks and force fumbles. So that was one of the things people were pointing out as a possible problem with Darnold, is that his ball security was an issue at Southern Cal. Anyway.
And I think that, you know, Sales brought up this point a lot. I think it's true that coming out of the draft, Allen got more negative press than others,
for sure,
because
yeah.
people evaluating that he had more staunch doubters or critics. But now, I don't want to say it's gone. I just don't see it as much. And if you are someone that thinks that Allen gets criticized for stuff that Darnold or Rosen or Mayfield wouldn't get criticized for, I just don't think it's really true. I mean, Baker Mayfield has put up some pretty good numbers. He gets the appropriate amount of credit, I think, mm-hmm. and at the same time isn't talked about as some sort of crazy answer. Lamar Jackson, same kind of thing. He ran 26 times. Mm-hmm. What did they say the next day? He can't run
don't
that
run
much.
So much.
So he's getting the same kind of treatment that Josh Allen is. And, you know, for Darnold and Rosen, I think, as we mentioned, just to kind of start this conversation, I think there's a pretty general consensus that all of them went into situations that were less than ideal, some better than others. I would have said that the Browns and the Jets were the two best. I mean, Lamar Jackson's on the bench, so that's a little bit different. But, you know, we'll see. Next year will be not quite square one, but it'll be the second chapter on all these guys.
And at least, you know, with the Jets for sure, again, drawing the similarities to the Bills, the Jets have like $100 million in cap space. They have more than the Bills. They're probably going to have a different head coach. There's already speculation in the New York papers that they might go after Mike McCarthy.
Ooh, boy.
Go ahead, do it. I have no problem with Mike McCarthy coming into the division. I'm not a fan. But the Jets have tons of cap room, so maybe they go after Le'Veon Bell. Maybe they go after whatever they deem the best wide receiver in free agency. Maybe they spend some money to figure out how to make their offense better. I'm sure they will, around Sam Darnold, and in all likelihood get an offensive-minded coach to come in and work with Sam Darnold. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Happy Thursday, everybody.
One more point from a texter. This is also true. The Jets claimed they prepared for Allen last time and got Barkley.
Oh, Barkley, yeah, right.
So, all right.
Well, now
you've prepared for Allen twice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 41 points. Come on. Whatever. I mean, yeah, I'm not buying it. Anyway, we'll talk Bills-Jets today. I wanted to share some thoughts about this. I know this was yesterday's show, but I did want to share some thoughts about the Sabres game against Toronto.
That's all right. I've got hot takes about that game.
Do you have hot takes?
Very hot takes.
Okay.
Hottest of takes.
You should be happy I'm still talking to you, because you and your season ticket holder friends who sell your tickets to the Leafs should be banned from Erie County.
Oh, boy. We're going to fight today.
Is it banned from Erie County? No, it's probably Niagara. Well, I'll just say all of Western New York, probably.
Yeah, we're going to fight hard today.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You going to throw a shoe at me?
I'm going to throw two shoes at you.
Actually, Leafs fans weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. There was only one thing a Leaf fan said all night that made me angry.
Oh, you went to the game?
I sat downstairs. Yeah,
okay.
I was downstairs amidst many blue jerseys.
Gotcha.
Blue and white. There was only one thing all night that I heard from a Leaf fan that
made you mad?
I wanted to turn around and challenge the person. I didn't, but I'm telling you.
I did go to the game, and my section did not have that many Leaf fans.
Oh, we had a lot.
Oh, I believe it. Downstairs is where a lot end up going.
There were a lot. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550. Someone tweeted in, so mad, the license plate. Southern Ontario mothers against defense.
Love it.
Maybe that's what it is.
I could be right.
So mad. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Josh Allen's got a chance to be really, really good also. And it's amazing. Nobody thought we'd be talking about Lamar Jackson in this vein, but so he's on a playoff contender, and he's won three in a row. So it looks like in all three situations, and, you know, you can't really tell Darnold yet because clearly of what, you know, he's been hurt too much. And then, you know, Josh Rosen just went in and won a game at Lambeau Field. So I think everybody who has taken a quarterback in the first round, either right now or at certain points of this year, has to feel like we made the right call.
Peter King from One Bills Live. It'd be hard this early on for any one of these teams that made that pick to say, we made the wrong call. None of them would even entertain the idea that they took the wrong call. They made the wrong call.
Yeah. If the guy who's playing was playing the worst, I guess would be Darnold at the time he got
right.
hurt.
And the Jets aren't
regretting that.
Definitely not yet.
No. So, and Rosen, has struggled. I mean, they're you know, he's putting up 100 something passing yards a game, but I don't think they're looking at it that they made the wrong call. It is far too early. Let's get you some headlines. Kelvin Benjamin went through waivers unclaimed. He is a free agent now. Andre Holmes was claimed by the Denver Broncos. Taron Johnson's fine rookie season with the Bills is over. Sean McDermott mentioned yesterday that the cornerback had shoulder surgery, so his 2018 is done. Practice yesterday, Jason Kroom did not practice with a groin. John Miller was limited with an oblique. Denver loses wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders for the rest of the season. He tore an Achilles in practice. Thursday Night Football, Doug Marrone's 4-8 Jags against the 6-6 Titans in the big AFC South showdown. Hockey happenings. Anaheim's won 5 straight. They beat Chicago last night 4-2. Willie Nylander says he expects to play tonight for the Leafs against Detroit. College hoops. UB remains unbeaten. The 17th-ranked Bulls are 8-0 after beating Lemoyne 89-55. Canisius snaps a 6-game losing streak. They downed Robert Morris 68-62. Bonna wins their 3rd straight. They beat Siena 82-40. Bonna will host UB Saturday afternoon at 4. LeBron at 42. The Lakers beat the Spurs. Curry at 42. The Warriors beat the Cavs. Toronto, an NBA best 21-5. They beat the Sixers last night. And Arizona traded first baseman Paul Goldschmidt to the St. Louis Cardinals. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 7 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us here this morning. That was a great game.
It was a great game.
It was a fantastic game. In fact, I will tell you, from if you go start
to finish.
We're
talking Sabres-Leafs.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Because Howard was off yesterday.
If you go start to finish, I thought it was one of the best Sabres games the entire season, including every game in that 10-game winning streak.
I agree. Not just entertainment value, but
how they play.
How well they played.
Yeah,
I agree.
Right. I thought they, honestly, I told you, I went into the game thinking, I spent 5 days telling you how I was afraid of this game.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back. You know, they had gone on the 11th game in 19 days, back-to-back, played in Nashville the night before. The Leafs played Saturday in Minnesota. They were off since then. And the Leafs are really good. I was really scared about that game. And the Sabres came out, and they took the game to Toronto in the first period. They dominated that period. The shots at some point were 13-3. I mean, they were really skating well. I mean, they were going at the Leafs. I loved what I saw. Now, the shots kind of evened out the next couple periods, but again, I thought from start to that painful overtime goal with 2.7 seconds left, I loved a lot of what I saw from the way they played. Offensively, defensively, you know, Eichel scores a couple of goals. I thought Ristolainen was tremendous the other night. He was aggressive on offense, but he was smart with his decision-making, and he played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, which he usually does. So, yeah, I they didn't win. They got a point, and I'm good with a point at any point in this time this season, whatever. They didn't win. It was a little bit depressing. Yes, I was angry. They lost to the Leafs. I despise the Leafs. But I love their game. I mean, you play like that. You played against Tampa, and you were hanging on for dear life. This is one of the best teams in the league as well, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you were the better team in the first period, and you hung with them the rest of the game. You were right there, toe-to-toe with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was after playing the night before in Nashville, and your 11th game in 19 nights, I was really happy with what I saw from them the other night. Loved everything in their effort. With injuries and guys missing the game and down defensemen, we're getting to the point where, you know, Nathan Pache is going to play, I think, at some point. It's getting so bad on defense.
Right. Yeah.
No, I was very happy. And honestly, it was a great atmosphere. I will tell you that. You know, we got in, got to our seats just a few minutes before faceoff. And, you know, when both teams came out on the ice, and I'm looking around the arena, and there was a lot of blue and white, and I don't know. I mean, it was a lot. But I just thought, if these teams played in the playoffs, it would be, while incredibly stressful for me and for many of you, absolutely amazing.
It'd be a great matchup.
It would. Well, that's the thing.
The Sabres are not
a
good matchup
for
Tampa. No.
But they played toe-to-toe with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
They can do that.
It's something I mentioned yesterday. When they lost to Tampa 5-4 and when they beat Tampa 2-1, anyone that said they went toe-to-toe with them, I thought, no, they didn't.
Right.
They got fortunate in one game and fortunate in the other game. And if there were a playoff series with Tampa, I would pick the Lightning to win it in 5 at most. But with Toronto, I know the Sabres would be an underdog. I'd give them a shot.
Well, and by the way,
I'd give them a decent chance.
Toronto is just, you talk about a team that's so tough to deal with. I mean, they put the Tavares line on the ice, and then they put the Matthews line on the ice, and I think Kadri's on the third line. I mean, it's just the firepower they can put on the ice is unbelievable.
They've got to feel they're one defenseman away from being complete.
Right.
Maybe two.
I like Riley. I like Gardner. I like Zaitsev. Sure, they could use another top four D-man for sure.
Their goalie is a
stud. And Anderson's really good.
He is a stud.
He's just solid.
Someone sent it to me yesterday. His goals given up versus goals expected, he's basically saved them one goal per game, above average.
Think about the difference that makes
right?
in the league.
That his play alone, he's been that good for them. So they're good, but the Sabres are a young team that might not want to, finger quotes, do the work to get past a Nashville team, like chip it past them, and they like to carry, and they've got their puck handlers that are okay. And against Toronto, that's just not as daunting as it is against as Nashville.
Yeah, as I said, I thought I don't have it. I just was so happy to see them play the way they did. You play like that. You show us that more often than not, you'll have no problem making the playoffs. You know, the Flyers, the Coyotes, the Kings, you come with that effort, you win those games.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best teams in the league. You know, as hard as it is for me and for a lot of us to admit anything when it comes to the Leafs, it's like I said, it's just there are times I felt, boy, that's unfair. Some of the guys they were putting on the ice, that's so difficult to stop. And throwing Marner in there, too. Marner made a great play on one of their goals the other night. You know, and Austin Matthews, I said it to you, and I think he is, this guy, anytime he has the puck, scares the living daylights out of me. That game-winning goal is vintage Austin Matthews. He's done that move plenty of times. The drag back and the snap the wrist shot, he's got one of the best wrist shots in the league. I had a bird's-eye view on his first goal. Our seats were in the corner, in that end of the ice. So I'm almost on a direct line of Matthews watching him take the puck, grab it out of the air, stuff it in. You could see it go in on the wraparound. It was a fantastic play by him. He is a great player.
You want to fight now?
Oh, I was kidding you.
Okay. Well, actually, I just looked up
something. I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about
it. I looked up something else that is going to drive home the ridiculousness of this point more. So, all right, you want to blame season ticket holders for why there are so many Leaf fans.
By the way,
building.
Leaf fans were fine. Like I said, they were great.
I had no problems
with anybody. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the next time that the Leafs are coming to town.
Oh, and I got to tell you the one thing that one guy said that did anger me. Go ahead.
So the Leafs come to town again on March 20th.
Oh, that long, huh? Wow.
March 20th. Okay. You want to go to that game,
yeah.
Okay? You a Sabre fan that's mad. You're mad about how many Leafs fans are in the building.
Okay.
And you're going to say, you know what?
Got to shut them out.
I'm going to that game.
Yeah, we don't want their fans
I'm not going to let them in here.
Right.
Where are you getting your ticket?
StubHub.
Why not go to the box office? I mean, the box office is available.
I assume it's sold out.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's not. Okay,
fine. Hypothetically.
Okay, then you could go to the box office.
Cheapest seat at the box office for a Sabres-Leafs game.
It's got to be one of the higher priced games of the season.
$90.
Yeah, okay.
Price for a Sabres level 2 ticket. Right? 300 level 2. You want to go to Sabres Leafs? Box office. $115.
The other night it would have been 50s. I think 50 something bucks.
This isn't StubHub. This is box office.
No, I'm saying we looked at StubHub for this game the other day.
Oh, right.
Remember
right.
And the 300 seats were 50s?
50.
Yeah.
March 20th. $115 at the box office.
Wow.
$71 on StubHub.
Yeah.
You going to blame the season ticket holders for making money here?
All right.
I mean, like, it's just. I mean, I'm triggered by it, I guess is what you would say, because it's obnoxious. I can't even believe it that the people that have been in that building for 10 years giving thousands of dollars
can be called out
by fans sitting at home.
Right.
When last year you probably bought my ticket for $8 to a game that I couldn't give away, and you were happy to do it. So, you know, the Sabres, they could get creative if they wanted to find a way to not let Leaf fans in the building, which I do not support. I do not want to force people out. They can't go zip codes because you got Sabres fans in Southern Ontario.
Right.
Right. You can't limit the ability to sell them on the secondary market because you can sell them to any game. You can sell them to Chicago, to Pittsburgh, and this happens all over the place. But the one thing that they could do is for their box office sales, the ones that are not season ticket holders, you could limit those. And you could find a way to make it so those have to be bought in person, perhaps. So if you want to buy those tickets, you can't do it from Hamilton. You have to come to the box office window.
Yeah, but then a Sabre fan from Hamilton has to drive to Buffalo to go get a ticket for the game.
I know. You'd have to get creative. The other thing you can do is not treat it like a platinum or a gold game or whatever it is. You drop the price way down. Because if you make a ticket to a Buffalo-Toronto game $90, That is the most expensive game on the Buffalo schedule.
Yeah.
And for the Toronto fan, it is the cheapest game they can go to.
Oh, compared to the ACC
right?
prices.
So, hey, how come all of our single-game tickets went to all the Leafs fans?
Yeah.
Well, because it's way cheaper for them.
Scotiabank, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Right? Right.
So, in the dueling economies, Buffalo says, why would I go to that game for $90? I'll go to the Flyers game on Saturday for... I should look it up. $50? Half the price, probably.
I bet you can get a ticket for cheaper than $50 to the Flyers game.
You mean on StubHub?
Yes. Not at the box. Yeah, I don't know what the box office price is.
Shouldn't that ticket holder not sell to you if they're a real fan? you'll take the discount?
Yeah. I've never had season tickets, so I don't think it's for me to tell season ticket holders what they should or shouldn't do. And I do know someone who has split tickets with buddies for years, and they've sold the Leaf game plenty of times, the Leaf games, to make some of their money back. And he's not a bad person. He's a good guy. He's a devoted Sabre fan and all that stuff. But whatever, you sell the ticket to make money back.
Is his son in jail?
No, okay. No, his son is not in jail. They're good people. So I think, you know, for me to tell someone who spends thousands of dollars every year, whether you're a one-year ticket holder or 10 years, 20 years, you're spending your money. It's your money. You want to get some of it back? I'm not going to deny you that, right? It's your money. You're spending it. I don't spend a cent to go see. Well, this year I bought tickets, but typically I haven't spent a cent to go see the Sabres play. So who am I to judge somebody else who's spending money on it? Like I said, you know what? Yeah, if you want to, I suppose, nah, whatever. I was going to say, you just go out and buy tickets, but what's the season tickets are like 16,000 out of the arena anyway. Whatever.
It might be a little lower than that this year
after a bit of a
lean year.
There was, and honestly, I said the other night, Leaf fans were fine. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I was getting my blood up just coming off the train going into the arena with all the Leaf fans that are walking around the front of the KeyBank Center. They were fine. The only problem I had, there was one moment the other night when Eichel scored his first goal. Some Leaf, they said, and the goal scored by Jack Eichel, his sixth of the season, seventh, whatever it was. And the guy behind me says, oh, six goals, that's a lot for Eichel. Ah. And he was just being a little bit of a jerk. And I wanted to turn around and... But I thought, whatever. Why am I wasting my time with this stuff? But I thought it was great. The Sabre fans, the Leaf fans would do their cheers, and the Sabre fans would do their cheers. And it was great. People were respectful of each other. I didn't see any skirmishes. I didn't see any arguments. Nobody was being a jerk. On the train afterwards, same thing. There were Maple Leaf fans on the train. Everybody got along just fine. It made for a really enjoyable atmosphere. The only thing that didn't go well was the end of the game. Although I didn't see it, Leaf fans all stood up and I couldn't watch.
Yeah,
I heard the reaction. I honestly did. When they Kapanen and whoever gained the zone, all the Leaf fans in our section stood up, and I was afraid to watch. So I heard the reaction. I knew they had lost. So
I would say that the next game in March won't be as Leaf heavy, but my guess is it probably will be until a year where the Sabres fans want to buy up those tickets. It's not about who's selling; it's about who's buying. And it's a cheap night for them.
Yeah.
And it's an expensive night for a Buffalo fan.
Yeah, it is. It was worth it the other night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Sabres back in action Saturday afternoon. They will take on the Flyers at 1 o'clock. We will talk Sabres hockey this morning on the show. Marty Baron's going to join us at 7:30. Paul Hamilton with us at 9. We'll also get the latest on the Bills from Sal Capaccio. He'll be with us at 8 this morning, all on WGR.
The eye test as well. You can see that he's found himself on the ice. He's comfortable lugging the puck around. He really makes people miss because I think his speed is really deceptive. And so he kind of comes up on you quickly and he turns people around as he's bringing the puck up. So, you know, the advanced numbers look good. He's generating chances. He's driving the play. He's not really scoring right now, but I'm not sure if that's something anybody was expecting him to do this early in his career.
Sean Tierney. At Charting Hockey on Twitter. Spoke to him yesterday about a bunch of stuff, Sabres. And, you know, their numbers, their trends, all that good stuff. He's a great follow. My favorite, just because of the visualizations.
I don't have the tweet in front of me. In fact, I'm trying to remember who would have tweeted it out. Somebody tweeted out, like, Pilot's numbers when he was on the ice against
Matthews
the other night.
5-on-5 against
Matthews,
yep.
5-on-5, and they were really good.
Yep.
I continue to be impressed with Mr. Pilot, and hopefully he is... going to be able to keep a spot when the Sabres get healthy with all their defensemen, although who knows when that's going to be because they're dropping like flies these days, unfortunately. 803-0550 to join us this morning. You can got a Sabres comment you want to share. We're talking about the Bills. Tweet it out. I'm going to check the Josh Allen pulse today. So how do you feel about Allen now after the last couple games since coming back from the injury? And you can evaluate Allen pre-injury versus Allen post-injury. I think the Jets fans are going to be doing that with Sam Darnold, who is expected to return to the field Sunday against the Bills after missing a handful of games with an injury himself. We'll talk Allen with you. Whatever else is on your mind, if something else you want to get to with one of our local teams or something national in the world of sports, you can always call us at 803-0550. If you need the toll-free number, it's 888-550-2550.
Quick Kelvin Benjamin update. A texter says, and whatever, we'll wildly speculate, that Kelvin Benjamin is on a flight to Kansas City.
Huh. They got some injuries out there?
Sammy's been, right? He's been hurt.
Yeah.
So I punched into Twitter, Kelvin Benjamin Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it turns out Chiefs fans are debating whether or not this is a good idea for him.
Hmm.
And I came across this one, and I'm going to need your help. So Twitter account, Chiefs Insider, which has, covers the Chiefs, says, let me see if this sounds familiar. Former first-round pick, struggles with the Panthers, gets traded to a bad Bills team, has a world of talent, but missing the motivation beyond a paycheck, is now a free agent. To say, like, Kelvin Benjamin fits that mold, I'm trying to think, who's the other person?
A former first-round Panthers pick who came here?
Yeah, and struggled, and yada yada. Does anybody think of it off the top of their head? Anyway, he might be on his way to Kansas City.
Mike Tolbert was not a first round pick, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I'm trying to think what other former Panthers would have been here.
I would say this: the only way Kelvin Benjamin can hurt you deep down and make you question things, because you know, come on, what did he do here? He did nothing.
Nothing.
It was a bad move. They gave up a third round pick for a year and five games of a receiver that produced nothing, and they kind of have to wear that. That was a mistake. So for me, like, moving forward with that, the only way Kelvin Benjamin can hurt you is if he does go to Kansas City and puts up stats with Patrick Mahomes. Because then you might say, oh,
you think he would put up something. He put up better than what he did.
But the point
here
is, like, if it's not
and he's
know,
in the playoffs, by the way.
If he's not a complete bum, black hole waste of space,
yeah,
and he puts up numbers, you might have a little bit of a What? Why'd that happen?
Yeah, I got a feeling he'd put up. I don't think he'd be a complete black hole, bum, waste of space, however you
phrased
might.
I don't know why they would use him.
Yeah.
Their offense is fast. Their offense is about, you know.
Maybe they want a slow possession guy.
Maybe. Maybe they want a Hail Mary guy.
They want a big target guy. Yeah, by the way, if you're Kelvin Benjamin and the phone rings and the Chiefs want to talk to you, you've got to be loving life these days. He would probably, if they sign him, I feel like he would produce some catches for them. I don't think he'd be a complete waste of time for the Kansas City Chiefs, but where does he fit in that offense? He's weapon number what? He's so far down the list. I'm not sure how many snaps he'd even get in the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And Andre Holmes goes to Denver, whatever. I mean, look, the move, I was a little surprised because I thought there might be an issue here with compensatory picks, you know, but it's pointed out the Bills are probably going to have a net gain of free agents this offseason. You know, the guys they're going to lose, I think the biggest name free agents are Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander. And right now, both guys are playing well enough, you'd say, maybe you'd re-sign him to another one-year deal. So the whole idea of a compensatory pick, probably not going to happen. They're going to sign more than they would actually lose in free agency. So even that wouldn't have made sense to keep Benjamin around for just that.
We could have thunder snow today. Get excited. Thunder snow.
Do I want thunder snow? Yeah, I guess I could go for thunder snow.
We're North Towns. We might not get it, though.
Yeah, no, I we're going to get some snow.
We are. But thunder snow is potentially in the cards for today.
All right. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Taking your Josh Allen pulse today. How you feeling after the last couple games on the Bills rookie quarterback? Luke said, feeling hopeful. Glad there's a reason to watch. Jared tweeted in, feeling pretty good. He looks to be improving on his reads and anticipation. Would like to see him use his running back before rolling out on early downs and take the easy yards. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. The Bills will take on the Jets on Sunday at New Era Field. We've got you covered here on WGR. 7 o'clock in the morning, our coverage begins with Fantasy Breakfast. Then it's 8 o'clock game day. Countdown to kickoff at 10. It is a 1 o'clock kick after the game. Talk about it with Shope and the Bulldog on the postgame show. And then at 6 on the overtime show with Nate Geary.